Blog Talk Radio.
Review Radio Show. Hi, my name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. We bring you the boxing news, the interview, the legend tales, boxing history, the past and the present, and the future stars of boxing. And coming from live from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, our radio aficionado that takes us on a magic carpet ride week in and week out, Bob Murray. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, good morning. Hello, everyone. Hey, happy Labor Day weekend. We have a holiday weekend here in the United States, a kind of unofficial end of summer. I always take summer all the way through till the end of September. But anyway, we do have Labor Day weekend. And you know what, Adam, too? I want to tell everybody next week, it'll be our second anniversary, man. So we're finishing up 2 years on the air, too. So it's been great. And more things to come.
Yes, it has been great. Well, you know, with all of those shows week in and week out, you know, it's there's a lot of detail in it, you know, some good times, some bad times. But most of all, we've been good at least 95% of the time, you know, so that's not too bad. I know last week, and we apologized to our guests when those kind of technical difficulties happened and the hiccups. So, but hey, we're back on this this week, and everything is running smooth just far.
Right. Yeah, that's indeed. Yeah, good. Good. Hey, well, we're ready to go around the world. What do you say? Should we start? Let's go.
Yeah, why not? Let's go around the world.
All right. Let's do it. All right. Hey, first, we're going to go across the pond. Then we're going to start out at the O2 Arena in London, UK, where ESPN Plus will be streaming. Vasily Lomachenko, 13-1, 10 knockouts versus Luke Campbell, 20-2, 16 KOs, for the vacant WBC World Lightweight title. And also Lomachenko is WBA Super World and WBO World Lightweight crowns as well. And just want to note also, Lomachenko is still suspended by the California State Athletic Commission until October 9th of this year. That's just one of those things we've spoken of before where a guy might be suspended in one place, but here he is fighting over in the UK. Of course, Lomachenko, a great fighter, one of those great pound-for-pounders, and we'll see what happens, and we'll keep an eye on that fight. Also a good matchup on that telecast as well. We get to see Charlie Edwards. He's 15-1 at 6 KOs. He defends his WBC World Flyweight belt against the challenger Julio Cesar Martinez Aguilar. He's 14-1 with 11 KOs. Heavyweight Chewy Fury, 23-2, 13 KOs, and Alexander Povetkin. He's 34-2, 24 knockouts. And remember, he only lost to Joshua and Klitschko. So it'll be a good heavyweight battle there tonight. Also, on the big card, we have 9-0 Joe Cordina taking on Gavin Gwynn, 11-0 for the Triple BFC British lightweight strap. And Joshua Buatsi, 11-0, fights a 16-4 Ryan Ford for the WBA International light heavyweight belt. Also, James Tennyson, 24-3, and Atif Shafiq, 21-2. Vie for the vacant WBA International Lightweight title. Two venues also in Lancashire. First in Colne, the super featherweight matchup of Artif Ali, 13-2, and Wagis Mohammed tops the night, while in Oldham, 9-0 middleweight Mark Jeffers steps in with Alistair Warren in that feature. Next stop, back over to Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. It's on Fox TV tonight. Eris Landi Lara, 25-3-3, 14 KOs. Ramon Alvarez, 28-7-3, 16 KOs. This was supposed to be the fight for the open WBA World Super Welterweight belt. But yesterday, Alvarez, man, he came in 4 pounds overweight. So we'll see what happens when they get into the ring tonight. But as of now, that's not going to happen with the Alvarez trying to win that belt because he's 4 pounds overweight, man. Check in at 158. Also, the Sebastian Fundura, 13-0 versus Jamonte Clark, 14-1 bout is for the WBC Youth World Super Welterweight crown. Also undefeated bantamweight Duke Micah, 22-0, 18 of those wins by KO, battles the 13-1 Luis Rey Suarez Cruz. The fellow one being bantamweight Raymar Caballo, 21-0, 18 KOs, steps in against Jason Vargas, who's 17-1, 12 knockouts. Defending her WBA World Female Minimum Weight crown for the 13th time, Annabelle Ortiz, 29-3, goes at it with Maria Milano, 10-1-1 on Mexico Azteca TV. From La Paz in Baja, Mexico. The co-main event features Daniel Argueta, 13-1, versus Yoel Cordova, 9-4-2, in a super flyweight showdown. Over in TJ, 2-1, heavyweights, Jonathan Rice, 12-4-1, and Christian Mariscal, 13-3, do battle. Acuna will feature Luis Alberto Hernandez Ramos, 19-0, 17 KOs, defending his WBC Youth World Super Lightweight crown. In Merida, on the Yucatan, the super flyweight bout between Junior Granados and Humberto Morales ends the show, but also showcases Tyrone Spong, the 13-0, 12 KOs, battling Jason Minda, 14-1-1, 8 KOs. And Spong needs to win this fight tonight so he can face Alexander Usyk in Chicago on October 12th. We talked last week that Alexei Fedosov was going to be possibly fighting him, Usyk, but that's all part. So now if Spong wins tonight, he gets that date in Chicago. So that'll be something to keep an eye on there, too. Yadiera Perez and Luciana Bolivar duke it out for the WBC Latino female flyweight crown in David, Panama. Rosario Santa Fe, Argentina, 19-2. Diego Ramirez slugs it out with Walter Fabian Castillo, 14-4, for the WBA Federal welterweight belt. That'll be telecast on Thai C Sports TV in Argentina. Back again to Europe, to New Eisenberg, Hessen, Germany, where Ufu Timur, 12-0, and Bernard Danfoss, they square up for the open GBU Intercontinental super middleweight strap. And we also have female bantamweights, Bill Zinner, Otis, and Mary Romero go at it in the co-main event there. Halberstadt, they'll feature the cruiserweight clash between Mukahi Ozakan and Mateka Hussein. Middleweights Maxime Horzeka and Bartolomej Grafka face off in Kalusin, Poland. Campania, Italy will highlight the super featherweight title tilt of Antonio Menillo versus Sergio Kikri. Up in Malmo, Sweden, it's Jelena Derek versus Natasha Rothflug in the female super featherweight finale there. Down in Novi Pazar in Serbia, it's Serif Gudajozak, 20-4 versus Bruno Tarimo, who's 23-2-1, for the vacant IBF International Super Featherweight Championship. Undefeated cruiserweight David Light, 13-0, crosses the ropes with Herman Garcia Montez, 7-1, in the headliner in Auckland, New Zealand. But the big fight down under is in Bendigo, Victoria, Australia, with Jeff Horner, 19-1-1, 13 KOs, fighting Michael Zarafa, 26-3, 15 knockouts, for the WBA Oceania middleweight belt. Also, Brock Jarvis, 16-0, steps in with Ernesto Solong, 22-4-2, for the open WBA Oceania super bantamweight crown. All this to be televised by the Australian main event TV. Mark Maxayo, 19-0, Panya Uthoff, 53-6, vie for the open WBC Asian Boxing Council featherweight title. And it's Giovanni Escaner, 19-4, versus Renolo Payao, 23-9, for the Philippines Games and Amusement Board bantamweight strap, playing out in Tagbilaran City, Bohol, Philippines. Tango Sac Sintry, 10-0, fights Nati Thongsikray for the open Thai Light Flyweight Championship in Bang Phai, Thailand. In Ginhei, South Korea, it's T. Yong-Yu, 21-3, taking on the Letizia Campana for the WBF Intercontinental Female Super Flyweight title. And in Pocheon, it's Seong Hee Lee and Hugh Jung-Jong clashing for the middleweight headliner. Big headliner in Qingdao, China, where Aniwara Ichizaki, 15-1, 11 KOs, fight Toyo Tsukinoruki, 16-6-1, 11 KOs, for both the vacant WBC, ABC, and the vacant IBO Asia-Pacific middleweight crowns. Also, it's Yi Chi Li versus Kung Ma for the open WBO German Greater China featherweight belt. And in Macau, it's the super flyweight finale pitting Rob Ching Chong, 6-0, versus Sean Tuo Lu, who's 2-2. 16 countries around the world, and some good fights to keep our eye on tonight. Got Jeff Horn, got Lomachenko, got Povetkin, and good things. We'll see what happens.
Well, hey, look, it's Labor Day weekend. It's a holiday weekend. You know, that's one thing about boxing. People like entertainment when they have time off from work, and with a holiday weekend like that, why not go out and see a fight? That's what it's all about. But, Bob, as you went around the world, there's other things that we have been talking about week in and week out that's happening around the world. The Anthony Joshua Luis fight that is scheduled for Saturday, December 7th in Diriyah, Saudi Arabia. They're going to go on a three-country or three-site tour for the press conference. One is going to be – the first one is going to be in Diriyah, Saudi Arabia, which is outside of Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And also that's the 4th of September. Then they're going then to London, which is the 5th. For a press conference. And then on Thursday the 5th, they're going to New York on the 4th of September and then going to London for that Friday the 6th. So, that you know, it's a heavy schedule with that, and it's still early for December bout. They're out trying to get people pumped up. You know, they had a sellout audience before over there in New York when Luis won the title. So I guess they're trying to pump it up to sell it out again. You know, that's what's happening. So, Bob, this is really, really something. The King has really put some money out there for them to do it. And could you imagine that?
Yeah, well, that's just the fact that they're doing three cities kind of across the world here a little bit just to promote the fight and get it going. So, yeah, that's nice. Good to hear.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's good to hear that they're going around taking a tour like that. But that's what it's all about. It makes everything real interesting.
Yeah.
It gets people around the globe interested on it. You know, you're going to big cities like London and New York and over in Saudi Arabia. You know, they're going to put their part because they put the money up to draw people in with them building that beautiful, unique stadium. It's being called something in the Dune, the Clone in the Dunes or something like that. They're labeling
Clash in the Dunes or something like that. Yeah.
Clash of the Dunes or something like that. Yeah. As the press conference gets out there, you know what I mean, Bob? You know, we'll really have the familiarity about the event, but, you know, with little press releases and stuff that they're doing now, we're getting bits and pieces as they keep growing.
Yes. And we'll definitely keep up on that too. Yeah. Because that's going to be, it's not too far away, you know?
No, it's time, you know, around Christmas, you know, time moves fast, as you can well see.
Right.
You know, you think about it when Labor Day, the summer ends and it's the last quarter of the year. So we only got a few months left to this year. And then we'll be, you know.
I know the Halloween candy's in the store already, you know.
Yeah. But another heavyweight that's back in the news, you know, where how all of this Luis stuff got started. He ended up winning all these titles was Jamil Miller. You know, he's set to return. It looks like he has went through some tests, and I guess so far he's done passed the test. You know, Miller
okay,
was
right.
Yeah, he was baby Miller was suspended for 6 months, and I guess they're pre-testing him in that. You know. Through this process, and it looks like he's ready to climb back in the ring and mix it up. And, you know, I like to see, you know, now that he tested positive for drugs, is his contract for the title fight, is that still intact? Or because he took illegal substance, does it nullify the contract with him and Anthony Joshua? So that's interesting, and it's something to look at because that could cause something down the line here in the future. A lot of controversy if Anthony Joshua will win.
Right. That would be wild. Yeah, so we have Miller coming back too. He could take on Ruiz next. I don't know how that's going to work out either, you know. And once again, we just mentioned Usyk coming back. Finally get to see him. It looks like if this guy wins tonight to Spawn, he'll be fighting him on the 12th. That'll be a big event in Chicago coming up, too, in October. But yeah, also Povetkin, we were talking about too. You know, he only has those losses to Joshua and Klitschko. You know, his name's always thrown around out there. It's a big fight with Hughes here tonight out there in England.
Yeah. And to get back to Miller, you know, he's not licensed yet. And many people were asking for a real lengthy suspension for him. So he's not licensed yet. But, you know, they're looking, I guess the promoter is, to do something to get him active and see what they have to do. But this is real interesting.
Yeah, he has to build his name back up now, too. You know, get a little more positive light. He blew $9 million, basically, at least. And, you know, so he's got to get his name back in the right side of the public eye.
Yeah, we all the time say that, you know, millions and millions of dollars just don't happen overnight. You know what I mean? And when you miss that opportunity, you know what I mean? Sometimes guys went in the thick of things, a heavy head. But, you know, when something bad happens, that money gets funny. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
And it takes a while for that kind of money to come back around and on the table. Because if it ain't there, the promoters don't want to pay it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you have
to. Interesting to see. Yeah. Yeah, there is a big fight tonight, too. I think that's probably happening like right about now, though, too, down in Australia. Jeff Horn. We'll see what Jeff Horn does tonight, too. Oh, yeah. Like I said, probably happening right now.
Yeah, I guess. Probably later on this afternoon, I guess we'll be finding the results out of that fight. And, you know, Jeff Horn, for people that are listening, don't remember him. He was the one who upset Pacquiao.
Pacquiao, yeah.
Yeah,
and people are looking at Pacquiao fighting now, you know, how good he is again, and, you know, his rebirth, whatever you want to call it. But the people are starting to look back on that Horn fight saying that what a great fight it really was, how he was able to win that. So, you know, Horn trying to get himself back in that game, too. You know, it's for the Oceania belt tonight over there. But, yeah, we'll see what happens out of the whole thing. It'll be good.
Yeah, well, those regional titles and all that. That puts you in the position in the rating,
right,
so you have the opportunity to fight for a title. But, you know, Spencer is, you know, he has a chance to become the undisputed welterweight division champion by defending an IBF title against Sean Porter, who is the WBC titleist, you know.
Right.
And yeah. So the
that's another one.
September 28th, just to jump a few weeks down the line, you know, there'll be a fighting in this big challenge in L.A. at the Staples Center.
Right.
So it's a great chance for Brock, you know, for them to mix it up, you know, and all of these fights, Manny Pacquiao, and guess what? You can't leave out Terrence Crawford. So the talk is...
Oh, no, exactly. I was just thinking of him,
yeah. You know, Terrence Crawford, he holds the WBA and the WBO titles. And with this kind of talk going on with unification fights, you know, we could see some dynamite fights next year. You know, I know this fight is a big fight. For Spencer, you know, if he can get past Sean Porter, one thing, Porter comes in, you know, he already fought Sean Porter, I'm sorry, you know, when he comes into a fight, meaning Spencer, you know, you always see something good and something great, but to mix it up with the top name fighters like, Crawford, and Manny Pacquiao. Wouldn't that be something, Bob?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, they're looking at it, like you're saying, that it all could happen next year, too.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah, on, you know, September 28th, he just has to, you know, go in and handle his business. And like he did, you know, when he fought Mickey Garcia. You know, that was a great fight. You know, a lot of people didn't think he could handle Garcia like he did, but he went in there and took care of business. You know, one thing about Pacquiao, what Pacquiao does is that he brings his best when he comes in the ring, Bob. And, and these young guys, if you ain't ready and you ain't ready to put it on the line and sit this older guy down who's the founder of the guy, you're going to be tried and tested because Manny Pacquiao brings it.
We just saw that against Thurman.
Yeah, we did. But our guest is holding the cue, Bob, and, you know, we'll be getting to him in a minute. Yeah, but you're right, Bob. Pacquiao, he brings it, and he brings it hard and strong, you know. So, Bob, you know, let's bring our guest in. We'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review radio show. My name is Aaron Smewell. We have Bob Murray, who takes us on a magic carpet ride week in and week out. But we got a special guest today, the former WBA super middleweight champion of the world, Byron Mitchell. Welcome to the World Boxing Review radio show, Byron. How you doing? Hello? Hello?
I hear you.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the show, Byron. Yeah. How you doing, Chip?
I'm great, man. So, thanks for having me.
Yeah. What part of Alabama are you living in now, Byron?
We're just off the Army base here in Fort Rooker, Alabama.
Yeah, man, the Army base, man, you know, wow. So, Byron, just talk a little about you. I know that you've been, you know, getting over things, and our host here, Bob Murray, he just had a similar instance with his father. You know, just talk a little bit about that and, you know, how you're making it through it.
It's definitely a transition. I was raised by my father, so I'm used to always having him around. And, you know, to be around every day and not be able to pick up the phone and say, "Hey, Dad, what's up?" Or, you know, whatever it is. It's kind of difficult, you know.
It's kind of difficult. Well, you know, you were a great champion. Boy, could you throw? Boy, can you punch? You know, just talk about what it feels like to be, you know, super middleweight champion of the world. What's the feeling like?
Initially, winning the championship, I always viewed myself as champion. Early in life, but I never really could envision it completely because I'd never been there before. So it was kind of ironic, so to speak, but I knew placed with the opportunity, there was nothing that was going to stop me. I was just determined.
Yeah, yes, you were. You know, Byron, you know, the ups and downs of boxing. Talk a little bit about your amateur experience that you had.
I had 116 amateur fights. I pretty much fought all over the world. As an amateur, fought in Canada a few times, and I fought in Russia for some kind of world ranking tournament. I could swear I fought Vasily Girov in the amateurs.
Right. How much did amateur boxing help your professional career when you turned pro?
Well, having the experience of fighting internationally was the big plus, because in the pros we fight all different styles, you know, and people from all over. So it was a big plus for me.
Right.
Well, go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah. We have a special guest that we're going to welcome into the show. He's a trainer, and I'm going to let him speak, and we'll see if you know who this guy is. Hello?
Yes. Hello.
Yeah, welcome to the World Boxing Review. A former WBA super middleweight champ is on the line.
Okay. B, how you doing, brother?
Eddie Davis. What is up?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. How you feeling, man? I'm so glad to hear from you, man. You know.
You too, E.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Aaron, for putting this together, man. Because, you know, I'm so glad to hear from the brother. You sound good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and he, you know, he's just going through, you know, some difficulty. You know, he lost his father, Eddie, and
why
I asked
me. Me and Mr. Mitchell was, we was close, but we had a name for him. We called him Road Dog, cause he when we was on the road, he was with us. Yes, sir. That was my man, man. I miss him, man. He was always with us.
Yeah, well, this is great to see a reunion like this. Eddie Davis, Byron Mitchell, everybody. It's the gang is all here, you know. So that,
yes,
you know,
sir.
That's good to see. So
you know,
so Byron,
and
you know, what's that, Eddie?
I appreciate the brother, man. He helped put food on my table. And made sure I made a living. So I appreciate him, man. I mean, you know, bless him. I'm with him all the way. My heart is with him all the way.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, he, you know, on these times, you know, there's something about a death. You know, I lost my father when I was young. It's just you just pull on those good times that you have. And, you know, you'll get through it. It ain't going to say, you know,
right.
Everybody has their own time to breathe. Byron, there's going to be times you're going to laugh when you talk about them like you just were. And there's going to be times when you deeply cry. One thing is that you remember them and that God does his work. And when you believe in God and trust in God, you can be still with it. You know, and handle it in a positive way to keep on doing things, you know.
That's one of the things that helps me be, you know, pretty much okay with it, because I'm a true believer in God, and I know that God makes no mistakes. So
that's right.
That's, like I said, that's what helps me be okay with the whole situation.
That's right. That's right. Well,
mm-hmm.
Byron, what can we expect from you in the future, of things that you're going to be doing?
Maybe you might catch me or catch a glimpse of me in the corner somewhere in the future.
Okay.
Really looking at or thinking about possibly coaching.
Okay.
Well, you'll be a terrific coach, man. You know, you're a former world champion. You understand the fundamental skills You've been around the best of the, in the game, and why not? Go on and give it a shot. Professional and amateur boxing. You ain't got me today.
I read some of your material, man. It's good. On Facebook, I read it. When what you stated was very correct. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So get on out there, Byron, and go on and give it a try. Do you want to tell the fans, your fans out there, anything else before we close? Because we're going to have our boxing historian Henry Hathcock coming on here in a minute. You know.
No, Aaron, not really. I just like to thank all of my fans and friends and fans that supported me over the years, and I'm absolutely apologetic for not being able to, after I stopped fighting, then they bring boxing to Alabama. So now I'm mad. Because I really wanted to yeah. perform in front of the crowd I grew up around. So, but other than that, I appreciate the opportunity. I miss boxing so much. Sometimes I want to come back, but I'm like, heck, nah. I get captured.
You're going through some things. Just take it same way you start training, brother. Go for them walks. Go for them longer walks. Then start trotting. Start running. Do your calisthenics. Same way you get in shape. Get that rope. Get that cardiovascular that goes in your heart. So you start doing other things that can supply the oxygen to your muscles. You know how we start training like that. And then get yourself back in shape. Go in there and get one of those kids, man, and give them that knowledge. We can't let that knowledge just go. And you know how I am, brother. I try to pass it to everybody, and I try to get all of y'all to pass it to everybody because it's well needed in the game.
No doubt.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, Aaron.
Yeah.
Aaron.
Go ahead. This is the Rehab Cop of Boxing Historian. Go ahead. Henry.
Yeah, I friended Byron on Facebook, and he's a very religious man, and it shows when he's on Facebook. He does a lot of good things, and I corresponded with him that way. But he's talking about his amateur career. Byron, what happened in 1996? Do you remember? You won a national Golden Glove title.
Oh, yes. How could I ever forget that?
Yeah, and you, another guy won it the same year. You know who that was?
There was...
I'll give you a hint. He's called Money.
Floyd Mayweather.
That's right. That's right. Before I take over, how did it feel to win a national Golden Glove title? I mean, not too many people can say that. And you were a national champion when that tournament was really, really high end. I mean, in 1996, they had a lot of great, great amateur boxers. And you came out on top in your weight division. You know, could you tell us a little bit about that?
Man, that was like a super highlight of my life at the time. I had been to, I think, three or four different tournaments, but I never made it past, I think the highest I got was the quarterfinals in the National Pals in Dallas-Fort Worth in I forget what year that was, 94, I believe it was. But
what made this different? Did you train differently, or your attitude was different, or
of course
what?
My attitude was much different. I kept telling my coach, Al Mitchell at the time, who was my coach up in Northern Michigan, I kept telling him, I want to be national champion. I want to be national champion. And, I was putting in the work and I was doing well, but I just always came up just a little short. But Al told me at the National Golden Gloves from the first fight, if you would just listen and try to do the things I instruct you to do, you'll be national champion.
I guess you listened pretty darn good. You know, I friended you on Facebook. I think you got into some kind of dispute with somebody, and he was calling you all kind of different names and everything like this. But you held your ground, and you weren't mean to the guy either. I mean, you were a class act. And I said, man, this is a guy, you know, that I don't normally friend that many people, but. You were a pleasure to friend, and look forward to corresponding with you a little bit more on Facebook.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you. It's a pleasure. And these guys out here, I've heard so many times before, these guys don't understand what we go through. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of people are computer boxers. You know, they stand behind a computer and they say all these kind of things, and you're a nobody or something like this. They never even stepped inside of a ring, never mind fought, they know very little about boxing, but they go on the computer, they'll go on BoxRec, which I'm an editor of anyway, but they'll go on things like that, and then all of a sudden they know everything. But like I said, you held your ground. And you said it the right way, or wrote it the right way, and I thought that was really a class act. And anything you post, usually people post all kind of negative things, but you're more or less positive, and I enjoy that.
Well, thank you. That's my goal, and I'm glad, I'm able to touch a life out there.
Yeah, no, you're like I said, you're doing a good job, and just keep it up. And coming on a show like this, I mean, Aaron and Bob Murray and Aaron Snowell, I mean, that even enhances your reputation in my eyes. I read what you say on Facebook and everything like this and other things, but now I hear your voice, and I could see the sincerity in your tone, the love for the sport and love for God, and that's very important, very important.
Well, thank you. I'm glad someone noticed.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure Aaron and Bob noticed, too, so, and a lot of other people out there,
Oh, yeah.
So have a good day and a good weekend, and, I'll be in touch.
Thank you, and you guys do the same. Aaron, I really appreciate it. It means a lot, man. I barely talk about boxing much anymore, but it's really been a pleasure here.
Yeah.
Aaron?
Okay, great, yeah, thanks.
Hello. You?
Yeah, I guess Aaron went somewhere. I don't know.
I'm here.
But I hear Bob in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, yeah, there's Aaron.
So Byron, just stay strong in the struggle, and thank you for coming on to the World Boxing Review radio show, and we'll have you on again, Byron. When tough times come, that's when somebody tough like you, a champion, shows their championship spirit. And once a champ, brother, always a champ. Just put your championship self out there and you'll see what's going to happen for you. Things will turn around for the good for you. You know what I mean? So get them kids and get them training, brother. They need you.
There you go.
All right. So thank you, Byron.
Thank you, guys.
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
Take care.
Ain't that, yeah, it's really something, man, to see a champion like that. You know, he's going through the death of his parent, his father, who he was close to. You know, I called him, and, you know, he was down. I said, no, I'm going to bring you on the show, man. You're a champion, and you're a former champion, and you got to get back involved in the boxing world. You've been doing it since you were a young man. You might as well get back in.
Yeah.
Golden Gloves, and this why we have to talk about Henry Hascop because it's important.
Yeah, you're going in and out. I can't hear you.
Yeah, what is the history of the Golden Gloves?
Oh, okay. Well, the Golden Gloves, they started, you know, actually had a tournament, a small tournament in Chicago in 1923. It lasted about 6 days. It, Arch Ward, he actually designed it and everything like this. It was his idea. It's funny because he also had another idea about baseball. He was actually the one that implemented the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. So he was pretty well involved in sports. But the bad thing about it was that they had it in Illinois, in Chicago, Illinois, and Illinois banned boxing around that time. They just didn't like it, and so the tournament was put on a shelf for a while. Then late in 1926, a guy by the name of Paul Gallio, he was an editor in the New York Daily News. He went to the publisher. The guy's name was Captain Joseph M. Patterson, and he said he had an idea about, you know, that would generate maybe some money for the paper and everything like this. And he says something about a boxing tournament. Now, they also had a skating tournament. It was called the Silver Skates Derby at that time, from the early 20s up until that time. And that drew a lot. But there was nothing, let's say, from after New Year's up until baseball season. You know, the paper was dead with sports. And he came up with this idea of having a boxing tournament. And instead of, they wanted to have it just like the Silver Skates Derby. So Gallio, said, why don't we call it the Golden Gloves Tournament? And that's how the Golden Gloves Tournament, you know, actually came about. And in fact, the back page of the Daily News had on February 14th, 1927, it was actually Valentine's Day, they had big headlines stating that Golden Glove tourney is on, you know. So they kind of, put this thing on. The top prize was, of course, a pair of golden gloves. And a cartoonist by the name of Grant Powers came up with the design, which cost about $65. Now, the AAU had a ceiling on prizes at that time. And that was $35. Now, we're talking about 1927 now, you know, and, $35 is worth a lot more than it is today. But Gallio, you know, went to the AAU and says, see, the Silver Skates Derby have awards worth, you know, nearly $65, and he just wanted to match that. So the AAU issued a waiver to the Golden Gloves to have that $65 thing. And then so they put it out on the paper, you know, for people to participate. Now, up until that time, there was very few tournaments that even attracted 150 entries. So Gallio had an idea of putting in what they call a sub-novice. That means anybody that even – you know, they didn't even have to have any boxing experience. You got to be a plumber down the street or a newspaper kid, you know, 17 years old, you know, they could join and be in a sub-novice class. They said they would attract maybe a little bit more. Well, the thing is that in a few days, they had over 1,000 entries, and they had to put a stop to the entry fee, you know, entries, because it was just getting too much. It was just getting too much
right.
for this thing, and so they stopped it, and then they only said they were going to have a few shows. Well, the first, the first show they had was on March 11th, and they had two facilities in that show. Then they had so many fights, so they had four on March 14th, six on March 18th, and another five on March 19th, and it went all the way to the finals in March 1928, March 28th, 1927, and they rented the Madison Square Garden at that time, and they drew 21,594 fans. And they said between 8,000 and 10,000 people were turned away in that, you know, they were trying to get in. That's how popular it was. Now, the next year, Chicago resumed, you know, Illinois legalized boxing again, and they put a tournament on. And then Gallio and a few other people had the idea of saying, well, why don't the New York champions meet the Chicago champions, and that would be the intercity, you know, intercity champion, you know, Golden Glove championships, and that's how it all started. Yeah,
uh-huh.
The intercity, and that ran from 1928 all the way up to 1961. I mean, you had like Barney Ross. He won that tournament in 1929. You know, Joe Louis, he won the tournament in 1934. Ezra Charles won the tournament a few years later. I mean, it just went on and on. It was so big, you know, everybody wanted to go into the Golden Gloves. I mean, Muhammad Ali won.
Yeah.
Joe Frazier. I mean, all these guys were just,
Golden Gloves.
You know.
And Bob, in Schuylkill County, we had Spears from up there in Tamaqua. You know, Spears was a Golden Glove champion, a
right.
world champion.
Yeah.
He's in the International Boxing Hall of Fame. But Spears was the man. He had a great amateur program up there in Tamaqua, Shamokin, and all that area up there by Grant and Schuylkill County. But, you know, the amateur program he had back then, it took off like a rocket. But go ahead.
Well, yeah, during that time, you know, other states got into it, like Pennsylvania and New Jersey and Kentucky, and soon just about half or even more the states in the United States had Golden Glove tournaments. And then, of course, in 1962, the intercity was no longer, and they made it the National Golden Gloves, and that's how the National Golden Gloves took off. And, of course, the rest is history. I mean, they had to be sponsored by a paper or some other organization, like a radio show or something like this. Like I said, New Jersey was sponsored by the Newark Star Ledger, Chicago Tribune, of course, the Chicago Daily News. Yeah, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
They had theirs. And like I said, if you're I'll tell you how important it is. I ran a Ring 8 meeting a couple of years ago, and Mark Breland was there. Now, Mark Breland, you know, he won two world welterweight championships during his career. He won the Olympic gold medal. And I asked him in front of everybody, I said, what was your greatest thrill in boxing? And he says, without a doubt, was winning the New York Golden Gloves. I mean, that's how important.
Yeah.
Important that was. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, here he's a guy that, you know, he won an Olympic gold medal. He's saying the Golden Gloves is more important to him than that Olympic gold medal. It was just, yeah, I mean, he won five.
You know, it's a real piece of gold, the glove. You know, them guys loved him because it's real gold. It's, you know, it ain't gold plated. They're real gold gloves. You know, Mitch Green used to sport his around. I mean, he used to love. Mitch Green, he used to even box in his. He wouldn't let you take it off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, most of them, if they want a Golden Glove title, they put it around their neck. I don't think they took it off to, you know, when they did a shower or went to bed. That thing was still on their, you know, around their neck. I mean, they were so proud of it. Like I said, Mark Berlin won five of them. This other guy, I think David Varela, he won six. And then it's the girl, Christina Cruz, she won 10 New York Golden Glove titles, you know. But like I said, just about every state has a Golden Glove, you know, championships. And then, you know, the winners, you know, meet in the Nationals. And it's still, you know, the problem now they have is that the Daily News is no longer involved with the New York Golden Gloves. I don't even think there is a New York Golden Gloves. It became a Metropolitan. They had a little a little argument between the Golden Gloves and USA Boxing. And so, you know, I don't know what's going to go on with New York Golden Gloves, but, you know, the name itself.
You know, Henry, when the newspapers were involved, what they did with the guys, they would have a tournament bracket, and then they would do feature stories on guys. The average boxing fan had an opportunity to follow a guy that they read about in the newspaper as an amateur and then as pro. And that's why in New York, Chicago, Philadelphia, the newspapers were doing it that would give it the story and the publicity that amateur sports made. And what happens in amateur sports is, you know, the amateur sports program in boxing needs PR. We got a lot of talent, but it needs a PR list.
I think all boxing needs that because, you know, I mean, you know, I just give you for instance, you know, in 1921, you know, July 3rd paper, New York Times in 1921, the headlines had Dempsey and Carpentier right on the front page, and there was like 8 different columns, and 6 of them were devoted to that fight. And now, if heavyweight champion of the world fought, let's say Wilder against, you know, whoever, and, you know, you have to search in a sport pages and see if you could find it. You know, I mean, you know, I mean, the back page of the Daily News, I remember, you know, having, you know, Floyd Patterson and Ingemar Johansson in the back page. You know, that was great, and there was pages and pages of the fight, or even leading up to the fight. Today, you know, there's very, very little, you know, very little. And amateur boxing, like I always say, you know, they always want to know records on amateur boxing. I mean, I kept them in New Jersey for years, but the problem is that, let's say you're in a state, you want to know what happened in, you know, a couple of years ago, if you weren't there, it's not in the paper. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't cover it.
Right.
You know, and it's a shame because, you know, some of these kids, you know, are still in high school, and you know, they might live, you know, 2 doors down from you, and you don't even know they're a fighter. You know, it's just a changing thing, and you're right. You know, the PR is really, really bad. I mean, Keith Idick used to do it for the Herald News and the Bergen Record or over where I am, and he used to do a great job. But he used to tell me that he was only limited to a certain amount of words. You know, he couldn't, like, expand on, you know, the boxing. You know, it was very short, you know. But, you know, years ago, I could show you articles, the whole page after page, you know, of of the fights and who actually attended the fights. You know, like Babe Ruth and, you know, Jack Dempsey and Joe Louis and Sugar Ray Robinson and Mickey Walker used to come to Patterson for Diamond Glove fights. And, you know, I mean, that was all over the papers. And now, you know, it's an afterthought. You know, they said, well, you know, high school sports is more important. You know, let's say even golf and tennis and stuff. It is important, but so is boxing, you know. But just as long as they can get that PR, like you said, you know, and I don't know what they can do about it, you know.
Well, you know, boxing, it's a place where you take a guy. People may not think he's the most toughest guy in the block, and he turns out to be the best fighter of a bunch in the gym in the community. Then you take the worst guy where everybody think he's the bad guy. He comes and learns boxing, learns to respect, you know, his opponent. He learns to respect the rules, the regulations, and next thing you know, it changes his life. He becomes a different person just behind boxing. You know?
Well, I always tell the coaches, you know, you're not just a coach in for boxing. You're a coach for life. A lot of these kids, you know, young men, even women, come into a gym. You know, they're from broken homes, or you know, they're looking for somebody to put their arms around them and show them the right way. So, you know, the way you act in front of them, that's where they're going to act. You know, in front of their family, you know, years from now, they're kids. So you gotta use common sense. Not everybody's gonna be a Sugar Ray Robinson. Not everybody's gonna win all the time. You know, you gotta treat these kids, you know, like your own. And you know, I try to instill that into a lot of these coaches. So hopefully, you know, a couple of them I know came back to me and, you know, told me, you know, you're right. You know, some of these kids. You know, they're just looking, you know, not even the box. They're just looking for some kind of love, you know, and that maybe they won't box. And maybe they can be a handler or a trainer or something, you know, they can do in the gym. They could be a part of boxing, you know. So it's, you know, it's just that, you know, boxing gets a bad name. And, you know, we really need a good PR guy to try to, you know, fix that, you know. And I don't know. I just don't know.
You know, I know, you know, we're talking about the Golden Gloves, but let's talk about the amateur program in New Jersey, because it's begun to produce a lot of good stars. When are some of the dates that amateur boxing in New Jersey?
Well, the Diamond Gloves just got concluded in New Jersey. I'm the president of the Diamond Gloves. This year we ran it in August, and that Diamond Gloves been fighting since 1933. Now the Golden Gloves, which we've been talking about in New Jersey, they start right after the New Year, maybe February, run until March and April, and then they go to the Nationals. And of course, you got other tournaments and other, like they got a lot of one night shows that kind of you know, builds up the people's you know, resume. You know, they try to put together different things. I know we had a show in Newark not too many weeks ago. It was actually a Diamond Glove show. They put it right out in the middle of the road, and by Lincoln Park, and I happened to be the ring announcer there. I mean, it was. Probably the hottest day of the summer, and the thing was that the only they had shade all over the place except in that middle of the ring. Like I said,
we have 60 seconds, Henry. Sorry to cut you off. We have 60 seconds. If you can,
like I said, New Jersey, we came out with another champion this year, Anthony Johns, and we had several other champions during the course of you know, the years. And now we implemented not only a New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame, but we also implemented New Jersey Amateur Boxing Hall of Fame, which is different. A lot of people would be great amateurs and then just decided to, you know, give up the sport. So we wanted to recognize them too. So, I mean, boxing in New Jersey is doing very, very well. Underneath, I was the president for 6 years, and now Jackie Atkins for the last 4 years. She took over, and she's doing a tremendous job herself. So, I mean, you know, so boxing's not dead in New Jersey, that's for sure.
Hey, listen, I got a quick update, man. Just coming in over the wire, Jeff Horn got beat. He was knocked out, TKO. Michael Zarate beat Jeff Horn. So we'll leave it at that, yeah.
Well, I guess we conclude with that, right?
I guess we conclude with that. There you go. Okay. See you
all
later. Thanks. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
You too.